What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we have a doozy of an episode for you today. I'm already nervous about it.
Are you already worried about it, Taylor?
I'm already worried. This is Kelsey's pick.
It sure is, guys.
Oh,
it sure is.
When you said we should do an episode on worrying, I was like, oh my God, yes.
And also like, have we not?
Yeah. Done it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. Before we dive into it, though, we do have a Patreon announcement that we're very excited about. So exciting news about our Patreon community. We now have two tiers to choose from, our Helpsters tier and our Type A Plus tier. Basically, you're getting all the cool stuff of the This Is How We Live Now tier, which was $40 a month, and now you get everything for $25 a month. So if you've been thinking about a good time to join Patreon, now is an excellent time to do so. Yeah. So we've decided to lower the price to make it more accessible for our listeners. We have heard your feedback, and we have structured some things for you. The Helpster tier receives two bonus episodes every month where we respond to your emails and share aspects of our personal lives that we do not discuss on the public podcast. And then our Type A Plus tier receives those same bonus episodes along with one-on-one rewards from us, which include Face in Space with Kelsey, where Kelsey answers your top three beauty, grooming, and feng shui questions, Creative Consulting with myself, where I would give you advice and feedback on your creative endeavor in a 15-minute video call, and Tangents with Taylor, where she sends you a personalized video shout-out. And you can still get four tickets to any and all of our headlining shows for life. You can have up to four tickets to a show every single weekend. You can call into the show where we respond to your voicemails live on Self-Helpless. And we have something called Helpster's Choice where you get to choose an episode topic for Self-Helpless every single month. So now's the time to do it, guys. You get all that for $25.
Yes.
And we are only 57 patrons away from hitting our first big goal of 500 members.
Yes.
Where we're going to be doing a live stream Q&A for you all on Patreon. So definitely join before we hit 500 so you don't miss that fun, hot mess of a night. That we do. It'll be a good
time. And that
time.
First tier is only $5, by the way.
Yes.
It's just $5. You get two bonus episodes. It's a great way to spend $5 a month.
Exactly.
You can hang out with us a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we restructured for you. So it's a lot more affordable and accessible for everybody now.
Yeah. Check it out if you guys want. Patreon.com/selfhelpless. Do you guys want to do a quotable?
Yes.
This is a very applicable quote for today's topic. This is from the old Dalai Lama. If a problem is fixable, if a situation is such that you can do something about it, then there is no need to worry. If it is not fixable, then there is no help in worrying. There is no benefit in worrying whatsoever.
Oh.
Well, doesn't that sound nice and easy?
for the Dalai Lama. I bet it is.
I bet it is.
Boy. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Kelsey yesterday texted me and Taylor and asked us if we could get our top three topics basically that we worry about. And I was like,
top three worries.
Oh my gosh. Like, only three? I have 100 immediately. So I had to really weed them out.
I know. That's so hard. I mean, Kelsey, what are your top three?
So do we want to just get right into it?
I would like to start with your top three.
Okay. Okay. We can do that. I would say my number one thing I worry about is what people think about me.
Okay.
Huh. And I mean, that stretches far and wide. That's a very like large umbrella worry. But I think a lot of my day-to-day worrying can be stemmed back to what people think about me.
Yeah.
Do either of you like resonate with that?
I probably worry about that. My number one is safety. My number one is like something terrible is going to happen to me or someone I love.
Got it.
Number one is death. How about you?
Yeah. I would say, well, my number one is not having enough time to do everything that I want to do. And having to prioritize constantly, because I literally want to learn everything that there is to know on the planet and go everywhere and do, and you can't. It's kind of, that's why I really like that quote, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. I don't know who that's from, but like that is so true. That's
incredible.
And so my thing is I have like this urgency that I have so many ideas and I want them all out right now and I can't. And that drives me nuts.
Right.
So not enough time is my biggest worry.
Okay. Yeah, I would say number two is what yours is for number one, Tay. The safety, death, getting a crazy disease, having some sort of severe allergic reaction. We touched on, you guys remember when I opened up about like my OCD period I went through in high school where I was afraid that my water got poisoned?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that? Was that on Patreon?
It may have been. I'm not sure.
I don't think at the time I was maybe comfortable talking about it on the main one, but I don't mind now. But like when I was in high school, I was not in a great place mentally for a period of time. And I flew to Europe, and I think it was after I had seen, have you guys seen Casino Royale, the James Bond with Daniel Craig, and his water gets poisoned and it, like he goes into cardiac arrest. And that just really fucked me up. That scene really scared me. And I was traveling to Europe and I was in the airport and I realized that my backpack was like slightly open. And I got this crazy catastrophizing thought in my head that somebody could have gone into my water bottle and like poisoned my water.
Wow.
And so I didn't drink any water on the flight from Spokane to Europe, and then I got very, very sick in Europe because I was like severely dehydrated.
Oh my gosh, that sounds horrible!
Not even water from like the
flight attendants. No, I think I
could have been in on it.
I don't even remember. But I think I slept most of the flight, so I just wasn't like, So I've been some places in my mind that was not a good good period of time. It was during like after I got all my allergy tests done and the doctor did not have very good bedside manner and was basically just like, you should get rid of all your pets and you should live in a bubble. And I felt at risk of dying all the time. And then the manicure tool thing happened. And then I was afraid of chemicals because of that, because that was part of like why my vagina swelled shut. That's a whole other story. We can't get into that whole thing. It's on YouTube. Yeah. If you search This Is Not Happening, that story comes up.
Well, I mean, allergies are just God poisoning you.
All the time.
It's completely fair.
Yes, all the time. Yeah. So I think I have like a huge catastrophizing tendency with health and like dying and safety, getting in, you know, Lyfts and Ubers, stuff like that. How about you guys? What's your number two?
Number two for me is that I'm not doing enough.
Wait, isn't that your number one?
That's the same thing.
Well, no, number one is that I won't have time to do everything.
Oh, then it won't be your fault. Number two is that it'll be your fault.
Number two is that I am not doing enough at this moment, like at all times with all the things that I want to do. And I constantly have to remind myself that, I can only do one thing at a time. Obviously, I'm afraid of death, but that for me feels like another category of like I'm like walking a fine line between an existential crisis at all times.
Yeah.
But for me as a functioning human, this is what I worry about.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm not doing enough things.
All right.
Wow. Because I have so many on my list.
Healthy.
Yeah, these are so different yeah. than how I feel about yeah. worrying.
I worry about how many reps I did in the gym. Okay.
Relax.
All right.
Yeah. What's your number two, Tay?
My number two is that people are lying to me, or that people aren't who I think they are, or what how they're presenting themselves.
Interesting.
That's my number two, I think. I worry about that a lot. People's intentions. I think I'm suspicious of people's intentions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because
I don't want to be wrong. Yeah, I don't want to be dead or wrong.
Okay.
If I'm dead wrong, oh boy.
Oh my God! What boy. A
oh, Aaron laughed at that one. That felt good.
Aaron likes
that
puns.
Was such a dad joke. I'm so sorry. Oh, that was awful.
Oh man, what's number three for you, Kels?
The more I think about it, the more I feel like it does just tie back into being worried about what people think of me, but looking really stupid or like really silly, like letting my guard down and not appearing perfect. So I caught myself, this was after we decided we were going to be doing this episode. I was writing in my journal and I went to say, I can't remember what I was going to say in my journal, but I had the thought, no, don't write that because that looks like too goofy or weird. And when you die, somebody might read your journal and think you were weird. And I was like, what in the actual fuck is happening in my mind?
Yeah.
If my own journal isn't a safe space for me to be myself and relax, then where the fuck can I be my... I mean, like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I can't journal.
Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I don't like... I don't like journaling at all because I just... And this is not healthy. But yeah, no, I don't... I feel unsafe that all my deepest, darkest shit is, like, in a book that somebody could potentially stumble upon. Wow. So I make it purposely illegible so I can't go back and read it even. So it's for me, it's just like an exercise of like getting things out on paper and then I cannot even read it when I'm done.
That's so interesting.
See, this is a national treasure. Us? This is not okay. Like that's just...
Yeah, I don't have that.
This upsets me. This upsets me because I also think that like... I know this is a large generalization and there's probably a lot of gray area, but I also feel like there are people in this world who are just like anxiety prone people and there are people who are not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't meet a lot of people in the middle. It's either like I know people who for sure have anxiety and deal with a lot of worrying, and then people like my husband, other guys I know, other women I know who
Cam.
Just.
Yeah.
The things I worry about, not even a thought on their mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
And here I am feeling like I can't journal in my own home because when I die, somebody might be like, oh, that was a weird squibble she did. Wonder what that meant. No one fucking cares.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, everything, I'm sure everything that I'm afraid of, too, is also maybe caring what people think. Not having enough time to do all the things or if I'm not doing enough. I'm sure that's somehow connected to what I receive in return of doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I do think it's personally validating just like to do it, but I'm sure it's a lot of external things too.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it all relates to that.
Is your number three that you're worried other people are going to think you won't have enough time to do what you want to do?
Is that what yours is? Should be. Actually, my number three is that I'll never have enough money to do everything I want to do. Or go everywhere I want to go.
You just want to do too much shit?
I am a doer, man. This is the shit I worry about constantly, is that I'm never going to have enough money, I'm never going to have enough time, and I'm never going to get to all the things that are on my freaking list, which is like a 70-page Google Doc long of things that I want to do in my lifetime. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I know. It's
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I'm constantly spiraling. Always. I've got to step back and look. Okay, I can only do this one thing right now. I can get to everything else later. I have to tell myself I can get to it later, or else I will be in a constant state of, what you know, pacing around the apartment.
Yeah.
Have you always been like that?
Yeah, I've always had way too much going on and piling more on it, and because I just have like this urgency, and I'm sure it's probably stemming from my fear of death that I'm always thinking about. It's like, look, I don't know how much time I have here, so I better get all this shit done immediately.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes I have to kind of step back and say, like, I can't rush this thing. I can't rush this process. And so I have tried to kind of, I often try to fast track things because of that.
I wonder if death is actually your number one.
Probably.
And then that makes all these other things like, I got to do it now because this is coming.
Yeah.
Thanks for trying to frame it so cool, though. Yeah, leaving me alone on the thing. God,
you guys found me out.
My number three is that I'm not good enough, I think, at stuff. Mm. Like, I'm not, I just get in these things like, I'm not good enough for my job, I'm not good enough of a sister or partner or whatever else. Mm. You know, so that's probably a constant worry of mine. And then when I fall short, I'm like, say,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep. But it's not. It's just you being human and you're not going to be
right
all the time.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share a couple stats about worrying. So 31% of Americans experience an anxiety disorder at some point in their life. Almost 50% of people suffering from depression also suffer from an anxiety disorder. And anxiety disorders incur an annual cost of over $42 billion in the U.S.
Ooh,
Jesus, wow. That's upsetting.
Whoa.
That is. I'm glad someone's making money.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So we want to today kind of like understand why we worry, the negatives of worrying, and how to improve your anxious thought patterns, if we can. Yeah. We all hold hands together this episode.
I know. I feel like all of my thought patterns are anxious. Did we repost that thing, all the types of thinking?
I posted that on Instagram over the weekend.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Neil Brennan.
Yes.
Posted
I screenshotted
it.
That. Yeah. You put it in your story.
I put it in the Self-Helpless Instagram story as well as an Instagram post. If you aren't following Self-Helpless Podcast on Instagram, by the way, you should. It's a ton of great stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. But this was like, I mean, real quick, because if you haven't seen it, just I'm going to go over it really quickly. I do all of these things.
It's a chart of destructive thoughts?
Destructive thinking styles.
Okay. Huh.
So like one, all or nothing thinking, a mental filter, which is only paying attention to like our failures and not our successes, jumping to conclusions, which is like fortune telling and mind reading, emotional reasoning, assuming that because we feel a certain way, we must think it must be true, labeling, assigning labels to ourselves or other people, overgeneralizing, disqualifying the positive, catastrophizing, shoulding and musting, and personalization. This is all my fault. Okay, I read that and I literally sent it to Dustin this week. And I said, this is just all the ways to think. there's not one thing on here. I was like, I don't do that. This is all I do is this chart.
Yeah. I have the buffet as well.
Oh my gosh.
What do you identify most with though? I'm definitely...
I mean,
all
that's like
nothing.
Asking me to pick my favorite child. You're an all or nothing the most.
I'm all or nothing the most, I think, or catastrophizing.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I might be those two also. Yeah, all or nothing. You're right. That's probably what I am. And then I think I blame myself for a lot of stuff. If I can't figure something out. So the personalization, this is my fault. Blaming yourself for taking responsibility for something that wasn't completely your fault.
Okay. I think a lot of perfectionists probably struggle with all or nothing or black or white thinking because the idea of perfectionism is like, if it is not done perfectly, then it is horrible.
Yep.
There's no like grace period or like, oh, well, I just made this one flaw. Everything else was fine. It's like, if it wasn't perfect, then you might as well quit.
I think the should or must is probably one I identify with the most.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
true. I should do this. And it's like, well, I don't really have to. Yeah. I just really want to. I think it would look a lot better if I did X, Y, and Z. Mm, but the other person probably does not give a fuck if I do X, Y, and Z. They just really need the information quickly and concisely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of shitting. Like, you should just be able to do this. Like, you should just be in this place. You should just be at this level. You should be whatever. And I, oh my gosh, in the last year, I have just realized I can't do that to myself anymore because it doesn't do me any good. I still make mistakes. Like, I still fuck up. Right. But thinking that way makes you feel like you're protecting yourself from fucking up.
Right.
And you're totally not.
Actually makes it feel worse.
Yeah.
Because then not only if it like doesn't go the way you want, do you feel bad, but then you're also like, and you were supposed to do it like this. And it's like, well, what? Now it's like all these other levels of feeling bad that you don't need.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want to look into why we worry for a second. Worrying is an attempt at dealing with uncertainty. And we talked a lot about uncertainty versus certainty a couple episodes ago. Worrying can be an attempt to prevent bad things from happening, kind of like what you're saying, Tay. Catastrophes, breakups, career failures, health issues. Worrying can be an attempt to solve problems of daily life, like at work, at home, friends and family. And I know that that's, you know, we talk about being control freaks here on the show, being very type A. Apparently me way more than you guys, which still baffles me, according to the Facebook group. But I do think worrying, like you said, Tay, gives you this safety net of, well, if I'm thinking about it, then that must mean I'm doing something to protect myself from.
Yes, totally. It's not going to happen if I think about it.
Right. It makes sense that this is instilled in us for survival. I mean, back in the day, we had to always make sure that there wasn't a freaking tiger coming out to eat us, you know? So it's like, hey, stay up and worry because it'll keep you alive. It'll keep you alert. It'll keep you coming up with solutions if shit happens.
Right.
But we don't need it anymore. The tiger's not around anymore. I mean, they're there, but they're in, you know, we're in separate locations now.
But now they have Tinder profiles.
Right. That's a throwback from a while ago.
Is it? I don't know. I've never been on Tinder.
Did you talk about getting followed by a wolf or something in a
profile? Oh, that was on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram.
That everyone who always messages you has a wolf drawing as their profile picture, and you're like, oh, is a wolf trying to eat me?
Yeah, some like deranged cartoon.
Yeah.
We just don't need this shit anymore. Like all these survival instincts that we have, we just don't need it anymore for the modern world.
I do feel like I just live in a state of fight or flight. When I first started going to therapy again, she was like, you're just like always firing on that. And I'm like, oh, this is exhausting.
That's a lot. Do any want to read the benefits and negatives of worrying?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Benefits of worrying. Worrying may spur a person to take action and solve a problem. The uncomfortable emotions that come with worrying may cause people to take action and get rid of their discomfort. Worrying may help people remain focused on the stressor in need of fixing.
See, it's motivating.
Yeah, exactly.
To an extent.
See, this is why it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Because my therapist has asked me, like, what, like, how is worrying serving you? How does this positively serve you? And I can think of examples sometimes where, like, because I was worrying or being overly obsessive about something, I did it well or I did it right because I cared.
Yeah. Right.
But where do you draw that line?
Yeah, for me, it's like, okay, if I'm worrying about something, how can I come up with a plan really quick to, like, prep for that happens? Mm-hmm. And once I feel like I come up with a plan, I should not continue to worry about it.
Yeah.
It should probably, you could put it to rest now.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
That's healthy, I think.
So you can worry. Like, again, we should bring back to the worry appointment that my therapist recommended. Is like, look, if you find yourself just like low-grade worrying constantly every day, all day, give yourself a 10 to 15-minute worry appointment daily or weekly whenever you need it. For me, I usually like put it at like 3 p.m. every day. So for the entire day, I'm just like, if I catch myself worrying, I'm like, oh, you can do this later. Remember, you have your appointment. And it helps you get focused on what you actually need to be doing. And then by the time the appointment rolls around, you may or may not need it anymore because you feel good. Sometimes I take it and sometimes I don't. But you don't go over more than 15 minutes, she said, or else it becomes like compulsive and you don't want to be doing that. So it just gives yourself like, let's check in and worry about some stuff. What am I worried about? Okay, boom, boom, boom. All right, we're done.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry that you won't have enough time to worry about everything you want to worry about?
You should have never told us that. Never let that go.
I'm so sorry. That was a bitch move. The negatives of worrying, I feel like we probably all know these, but worrying can negatively affect your sleep schedule and immune system. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Done it. Worrying thought patterns can spiral and cause emotional or situational paralysis. Oh my God. Whoa. Spiraling thoughts may prevent you from taking action. Oh my God. Worrying is uncomfortable and may incite a negative emotional state.
That's so true. Yeah. Because sometimes worrying is a motivator, like we talked about in the positives of worrying, that you can go, oh, I'm worried about this, so I'm going to do something to ensure it doesn't happen. And sometimes that actually does work.
Yeah, but, like not getting murdered.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you are in such a state of like spiraling, workaholic, burnout, all that, you just feel like frozen. I can't move. I can't do anything because I'm so overwhelmed. And then nothing's getting done.
Right.
Do you feel, as you know, you guys are both also anxious types, the people in your life who are not anxious types, do you ever feel like your worrying spills out onto them?
I cut those people out.
Dead to me.
That's what I do.
See, I can't not, like, because I know Kane doesn't worry about things, then that makes me worry on his behalf. My worrying is boundless.
You take on
knows
the burden.
No bounds. He got a parking ticket like a month ago and it was just sitting on our counter and I was like, why do I have a feeling like he's not going to remember to pay this by the deadline? Sure enough, it was like 2 days before and I was like, hey, remember this coming up? He's like, oh yeah. He went up, he tried to pay it. There was like a technical difficulty and he was like, oh, I'll just have to call them tomorrow. And then tomorrow rolls around and I'm like, hey, did you do it? And he's like, oh no, I'll do it right now. But I'm like, if I had not worried on your behalf,
right,
you would have had to pay more money. And like that shit drives me fucking crazy. But I don't think I'd want to be with somebody who is also as neurotic as me.
I don't know. That sounds nice. I think that'd be nice if I was. That's not true. I've dated one person who is as neurotic as I am.
How did that go?
It was great. It's the best relationship I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're still friends. He's crazy. It's the best.
I can't even picture what that would be like.
Ooh, I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, I don't know. It helps.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see pros and cons.
Yeah, I definitely do some of that for Cam.
Yeah.
It's more so instead of his own stuff, it's if we're doing something as a couple. Like, you know, okay, we gotta probably book those flights for the wedding we're going to, or we gotta probably figure out the hotel room or like all that type of stuff. So if it includes my schedule some way, then I worry about it or I like talk about it, but I'm like, you know what? This is on you. Like he got summoned for jury duty. Poor Cam. But like I could constantly like, hey, don't forget. But I'm also like, I have so much shit up here. I can't. And I'll be like, I'll put it here where he can see it. And you know, I might point to it every once in a while. But other than that, like, that's your shit. and if it's our stuff, then I'm like, okay, I don't mind either mentioning it, like, quickly or immediately, or I'll wait and to see if he does and if he takes care of it. And it kind of depends on the priority of what it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough though.
With stuff like that, I mean, I guess I'm talking more of like a generalized sense of anxiety. I feel like I can make other people uncomfortable. So like if I'm super nervous about something, I want the other person to be nervous too, so that I have I have a friend. You know,
like, I would hate that. I do love that Kane is so chill. Like, that energy in the house is really helpful to me to have somebody that's not like me, you know?
Yeah. But like when you guys fight, is he as worried about fixing it right away as you are?
I mean, he likes to just really draw it out.
Yeah, that's a chill.
It, which I fucking hate. We've had to put time limits on fights.
Yeah.
Like, that's like an actual conversation we've had.
Because he
could be good for like a couple days just like letting it draw out and just, you know, power move. I'm like, fucker. Like,
you get
a couple hours and then I'd have to resolve it.
Yeah.
See, that's what I couldn't do, the chill. Like, I want someone else who's like, yeah, we got to fix it. We got to fix everything. Like, that's.
It'd be a happy medium. I don't know. Like Cam is very chill, but he also told me that he has some anxiety recently. I'm like, what? About what? I've never. When did that took you over 3 years to bring this up? Yeah. Maybe he was just trying to,
relate.
I don't know, or just like. I think maybe back up like why he smokes so much weed. You know what I mean?
My
like
God.
I think it could have been related to that. Like, oh no, I'm super anxious because, you know, that's why I need this so much. I'm not really sure, but he was telling me about like certain thoughts he has. I'm like, oh, that does sound like an anxious brain, but like you don't you don't show that at all. He's like, well,
Sounds like someone read an article.
Sure does. It's like, maybe he just has these thoughts and just doesn't act on anything. Like, he just has these thoughts but still remains on the couch while I have these thoughts and have to get off the couch and clean the entire apartment. Maybe we just, you know,
deal with it in different ways.
Yeah, maybe we medicate differently too. Or like cleaning is really like soothing for me. And for him, lighting up a fat J does it. So, you know, I don't know. We're all different.
Playing a little Madden, huh?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So we've got a couple things that might help you guys, hopefully helps us. Five ways to improve your anxious thought patterns. Number one, stop the adrenaline, focus on your breath. When you're worried, your body releases the fight or flight hormone adrenaline, which is what causes the physical symptoms of stress. So practice deep breathing. This will help lower your heart rate, relax your muscles, and help slow your racing thoughts. Here's the problem. I love me an adrenaline rush.
Oh.
And I have a low grade, like, trying to keep that buzz going all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I seem pretty, I think, type A, and like, oh, I don't really do drugs. Like, I, you know, smoke weed here and there, and I drink here and there, but like, I am addicted to adrenaline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want it all the time.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I'm constantly having to remind myself to breathe.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm in a state of like overwork or like I know I'm freaking on fire doing something, I have to remind myself, okay, you need to take a second right now and take a deep breath.
Yes.
It does change things if you just breathe deeply for like 10 full breaths. You do like, you kind of just stabilize a little bit.
Yeah, stabilize is a good word. Mm. It doesn't fix things, but you do stabilize.
Yeah, you're less like, ugh, I'm less like on edge, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like the plane is still crashing, but like the landing gear's out, you know?
There's a chance.
Yeah, we're going down hard, but we, you know, we might.
Your parachute was working.
Yeah, maybe. There we go. That's what it is. Another way to improve your anxious thought patterns, write down what you were worried about and what you're grateful for.
Oh, I like that.
An associate professor in psychology at the University of Chicago says that writing down your worries might be counterintuitive, but it's almost as if you empty the fears out of your mind.
Could not agree more with that.
That's a great one. And then another bit of research proves that simply writing down who and what you are grateful for triggers positive health benefits. That's true. Anytime I've written down like a gratitude list, totally helps.
Instant.
Yeah. Instant.
Yeah. I do the writing down things I'm worried about or things that I'm depressed about.
Mm.
If I'm journaling and I feel like everything is coming at me, I'm like, oh, I just feel weird. I will just stop doing the free flow journal, whatever, and just make a list of like, this is worrying me. This is worrying me. This is making me sad. It really does empty your brain out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just look it all in the eye.
Yeah, you're facing it head on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, I do. Instead of writing everything down, I'll just think of it really quickly. I think I told you
if you write
this.
It down, someone might find it.
Exactly. I got to make it a legend.
I'm grateful for Cam.
Yeah.
Journal so like national treasure. It's like a code.
I got some crazy shit in there, you guys. I don't know. I just, I've never been in the habit of journaling. And so for me, it doesn't feel like it's not my natural go-to.
Yeah.
But what I do like is just wake up in the morning, think of something that I'm grateful for yesterday. Think about something I'm grateful for right now. Think about something I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just I like that.
Boom, boom, boom. Done.
Those are good.
That's great.
I like that.
That's my shortened version of morning pages.
Yeah. You're efficient minimalist.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And all my shit is digital now. Or like none of my practices require any paper or pens of any kind. Even my worry appointment, I don't write the worries down. I just think about them and then I put them away. And my, you know,
God,
you're so, it's just
you crack me up. I mean, if that makes you feel good, then I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
You just make me laugh. Yeah. How efficient you are.
You don't need any materials. What are we on now?
A tree's not going to die on behalf of my fucking fears.
Want to know the eco-friendly way to not worry people?
Oh,
hit
my
me
gosh.
Up.
Another thing you can do is practice mindfulness and meditation. Mindfulness techniques involve non-judgmental awareness of present thoughts and emotions. This practice fosters cognitive awareness of the emotions and thought patterns linked to a person's worries. So this can enable a person to more easily disengage from a worrying cognitive loop. Yeah. I talked to my psychiatrist about meditating and she was like, you know what? I was like, I have real trouble meditating. She goes, yeah. She's like, sometimes it doesn't always help someone who's super anxious because if you get like quiet and still, she's like, sometimes I tell my clients with really bad anxiety to like run around the block or like do a crab walk across the floor or something because getting that like nervous energy out is more helpful than like trying to sit quietly and not think about anything. Not to say that that's the case with everybody. I've definitely tried meditating before where it did help, but like a lot of the time I feel like for me, if I'm trying to meditate, maybe I need to meditate proactively instead of reactively, because if I do it while I'm already anxious about something, which is always then I get like I feel like it makes it almost worse.
I think what you said there though is not trying to think about anything, which I've heard is not what you're supposed to do for meditating, or you're not supposed to put any kind of like restrictions or restraints on it. You just sit there,
you're trying to like empty your mind,
let the thoughts come in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You just kind of let it be there.
Yeah. There's no, I think that's like a huge misconception with meditating. It's not like I will have no thoughts for an hour. It's thoughts will continue to come, but you just notice them. They say on the Headspace app that it's like clouds moving through the sky. Like they will keep moving through your thoughts will.
You're just like, oh, I might die. Look at that little cloud. That's interesting. Everyone may be lying to me. All right.
Cloud is shaped like a bomb. Nice. I think you would benefit maybe from trying meditation again.
Yeah. All right.
If you just baby step, Headspace is really helpful. Yeah. I think there's also a huge benefit in like getting out and moving, but
combination of both.
Yeah.
I like meditating. I do. I find it helpful. It makes me less reactive during the day because you can see all these thoughts coming and you can feel all them. And then it's like the longer you sit there, you're like, oh, I'm still alive and these thoughts are still happening and I'm fine. I don't know. It's just kind of like, that's okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You might want to try it.
All right. Yeah. Try now. To a cloud fear shit. And another thing you do is practice thinking like a rational scientist. So evaluate the data, know the odds of different outcomes, bet on the more likely outcome, but be aware that nothing is certain. This will help foster an internal rational perspective on your circumstances and an acceptance of life's uncertainties.
Yeah. All right. I think... Do you guys know Mean World Syndrome?
No.
Mean that? World?
Mean World Syndrome. Uh-oh. It's something I read about in college. It is the idea that you are, something is about to happen to you that will harm you. Like, you're always thinking that, like, the world's after you.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. That's me, too.
Yeah, that's all of us. I mean,
yeah. And I think the news really perpetuates that idea of, like, you see one thing about, a woman being murdered and whatever, and then you go, that's going to happen to me, too.
Oh.
But, yeah. And can that happen? Absolutely. But statistically, you're reading about it because it's in the news and it's a newsworthy thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because it does not happen.
Right. Think about all the women not constantly. Getting murdered.
Exactly.
Us right now. Right, you know, now. Just like, I don't watch the news
us
anymore.
Us right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, think about everyone not being murdered. Us right now. Prime example. Totally not getting murdered. ATM.
We're not getting murdered. I don't watch the news anymore at all. I get all my news filtered through Cam now.
Okay,
I just, it's not productive for me at all.
Yeah.
Talk about filling your mind with just garbage that's gonna make you feel like shit all day.
Yeah.
You know, I have to feel like I love filling myself with just positive stuff constantly all day. I'm really picky about like movies and TV shows I watch too now.
Me too.
I'm just fucking over it. I'm over feeling uncomfortable and like shit if I don't have to.
Yeah. And then the last one is something that we actually already talked about with scheduling your worrying time.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at this. So schedule your worry time. Schedule a 30-minute period each day using these four steps. My therapist recommended 15 minutes or less, so you might want to stick to that.
Maybe she just did that for you because you can't handle a full 30 minutes.
It's like your to-do list is too long.
Yeah.
Step one, identify the things you are worried about. Step two, plan the time and place to think about your worries. Step three, if you catch yourself worrying outside of the designated time, make a point to think of something else. Or for me, what I do is I just remind myself that I have my appointment at 3 p.m. to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Step four, use your worry time productively by thinking of solutions to the worries, which I do that. Yeah. So that's what I do. I sit and I think about, okay, what am I worried about? Okay, great. So if this X, Y, and Z happens, what would I do? Okay, I do that. Okay, what's the next worry? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. No, I would be okay. I would just do this, you know. So I just go through it like it's actually, if it were to actually happen. Like
interesting.
I sit in it. Okay, let's say this is really happening right now.
Yeah.
What would be my next move?
Yeah. Gotcha.
I solve it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, the death thing can't really solve that. But everything else, right. You know?
God damn it.
I know. I'm really, it's upsetting even to think
about. I know. Let's not think about it anymore. So anyway, that's how we do it. That's our worrying episode. Who has segments?
Yeah, we do.
We got to distract ourselves.
Segments.
Love we a also, segment. Before we get into segments, we have an iTunes review of the episode from EMZ 82991. It says, I recently discovered this podcast as I was looking for something to help with my anxiety, which has become so overwhelming that it's definitely affecting every relationship in my life and my job. So aww. Sorry. Listening to this podcast has definitely helped me reach out to a new therapist, introduce myself to self-help books, and be more open to the idea of meditation. I'm only on episode 22, but you ladies are killing it. You girls are comedy geniuses.
Oh,
that is so nice. So nice.
Oh, that's so too nice.
Doing such good stuff, too.
Thank you. Yeah. That's thank fantastic. You for your very kind thank iTunes you. Review. We're going to be sharing one on every episode going forward. So if you have not left us one yet, just take a second. Click that fifth star on iTunes. Leave a nice review. It really keeps us on the charts. It helps a lot.
Yeah. And then another thing we're doing on Instagram right now. So upload a picture to your stories of just something that maybe you heard about on the show, or maybe that's something that you're doing that you were inspired by, self-helpless. This is a perfect example. Started going to therapy and other things. Maybe a book that you're reading. And tag us in it, and we will repost you. So we want to fill our Instagram with like all the positive stuff people are doing, whether you heard about somebody on the show or whatever. Thought that'd be cool to like see. We hear about it in emails so much.
Yes.
I would love to like see the visuals of what people are doing, whether it's like you're hiking more or you're doing this or whatever.
Totally.
It'd be really fun.
We love reposting stuff on the self-helpless Instagram. I'm running it for the month of September, and we're just gonna each rotate each month, and it's been really fun to like just get in, get my hands dirty with you guys. Interact and have lots of fun. So.
Hell yeah. And great. Yes. And then another thing we're making, we made a Patreon chain. So check out patreon.com/selfhelpless for our two tiers. Very exciting stuff. And just a shout out to the people who are part of our top tier for so long. Just a shout out to Joe, Krista, Linda, Lionel, and Milton. Thank you guys so much.
Aww.
We love you. And now you can get all those rewards for $15 less a month with our new tier. So
you're very sweet.
You're the best.
Being such great helpsters.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we do some segments?
Let's do it. What you got?
I have a defuck.
Oh, my God.
Let's hear about it.
That you guys saw in my stories, and some of you listeners might have seen in my stories. So, this was a few nights ago now. I had a show at a distillery in El Segundo, and just to set the scene, this was like a fairly small room, and their lighting situation was like all the lights were off, and they just had one very bright spotlight. Kind of like when somebody's like an inmate is escaping prison and they're like trying to find them, and it's just a really bright, a really bright spotlight. So that's, anyway, I'm just setting the story up. That's what it was like in the room. We performed, Kane was there. It was a fun show. And then afterward, I was standing with Kane and a group of other comics, and this woman who seemed like she was maybe in her 70s. She took me by the hand and was like, I need to speak to you. And she pulled me aside. And it's funny because we had just been saying like, I feel kind of weird talking about the open relationship stuff on stage because I feel like some couples are getting uncomfortable. I'm trying to find a way to talk about this. And right after we were saying that, this old woman comes up. So oh. I kind of shoot the comics to look like, oh, she's going to tell me that, like, it's I'm a sinner or something yeah. unsavory. Anyway, so she pulls me aside and she goes, so I was a photographic stylist for 20 years. And at this point, my mood changes and I think, oh, I think she's about to, like, pay me a compliment or say something nice about, like, my makeup or my outfit. And then she goes, when I was watching your comedy, your face was so oily and so shiny that it distracted me from your jokes. And when I was watching you up there, that spotlight hitting you, it was just like three big white rectangles on your forehead and your cheeks. And you need to wear powder before you go on stage because you are too oily not to.
This is...
And I just...
I've heard this story and I'm still so mad.
What did you say?
Yeah, what did you say?
What did you say back? I mean, I was kind of paralyzed. I couldn't... It was one of those things where it's so rude that it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, in the moment, yeah. you're like, oh my God, you are fucking crazy. Like, I cannot believe you think it's okay to just say that to people. So yeah. I kind of laughed to myself and I was like, okay. And then I turned away and she left. And I went back to, I had to go back to the comics who were like, what'd she say? And I just was like, she just like told me I'm gross. She just made me feel so badly about how I look and my skin type. Also, you know, the thing I am, speaking of worrying what people think of me, all this stuff, the thing I am physically most self-conscious is my skin. Like, including, you know, that includes my moles. I talked about that I'm having them removed soon. But, my skin, like, I have struggled with acne for so long, for so, so long. And I do have an oily skin type, which makes me more acne prone. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I go on stage, I don't want to have to worry about that, like, and think about, oh, do I need to powder up before I get up? You know, it's like, yeah. I'm just trying to do my job and tell my jokes. Mm-hmm. And I, like, was able to laugh about it with the comics there and Kane while we were at the venue, but as soon as we got in the car, it was like, you know, kind of like going through the stages of really processing it. And then I got like mad. I was pretty upset. My feelings were hurt. And then by the next day I was able to like, okay, maybe I should talk about this on my Instagram stories, try and make light of it. But I, you know, it hurt my feelings. Yeah. It's not fun to like feel self, like I know I'm oily. I know my skin is oily.
Well, it's like, keep it to yourself, bitch. Yeah. Are you serious? Like,
did she think she was like doing helping? You a favor, like telling you something?
Probably. Absolutely.
So it came from like, oh, honey, I gotta tell you, like that kind of thing.
Absolutely, it's that generation of women. My mom did the same shit to me growing up, where she'd be like,
"That's your mom, though."
Oh, well,
this is some lady.
I know. It is another level where like this is an actual stranger. But like, you know, my mom. I've shared this story about my mom telling me that like, oh, you have a mustache. And it's blonde, but, you know, your hair does hang over your lip. And so you need to start narrowing. I was like 12. Like I was too, you know what I mean? You're just like, you don't want to be worried about that. But I think that generation is very concerned about like, I think how you look and presenting yourself, especially if you're going to go be a performer on stage. I'm sure there are a lot of people who see if maybe we go on stage looking more casual, like dressed down, that they're like, oh, well. You know, that's just not the way it should be. I get that vibe sometimes from older people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
where's your zoot suit?
Yeah. Your zoot suit.
What the fuck is a zoot suit?
Zoot suit, right?
Look it up.
Zoot suit. I'm going to be Google imaging zoot suit all night.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that was my defuck, where it's just like, oh, and then, so I post that in my stories, and then I posted a picture right after that in my actual feed, like making a joke about like you should go see what I just talked about in my stories, and some guy commented on that photo being like, you always have a pimple on your lip.
Like, literally, get out.
I cannot deal.
Yeah,
it's like inception of insults, like they just keep going. They don't stop.
Oh my gosh.
So many layers of rude,
dude. And it's gonna get worse and worse the more like famous you guys get too. And that's like, and that's why it's like, I thought, you know, when I stopped stand-up, I was like, you know, definitely feels like a breakup, but I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this, because this is a very real thing that unfortunately comes with this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, I'm safe from this. This is fantastic. Yeah. But then it's like, now I'm not. Yeah. Anything I do is going to get criticized. It's going to be in a different way. Or now it's like, you know, the podcast is still out there. And it's like, I thought that I'm like, oh my God, I get to shut myself off from this now. This is a great perk. No,
yeah.
it's going to be anytime that you do anything and you put yourself out there is you're gonna freaking come across people like this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know,
fucking just gotta freaking darling
filter that shit.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do it face to face anymore.
Huh?
At least you don't have to do it like face to face.
I know. Oh, totally.
That's
totally
better,
right? Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't really do face to face anymore. Now it's just like Instagram messages or. I mean, I'm sure I'll get some face to face stuff at some point.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
But not right now.
I feel yeah. for you guys, dude.
I was bamboozled. I mean, like, I just
that was not okay.
It was not okay. I did not expect it. She seemed like a sweet old lady.
Yeah, she gestured you aside. Like
she pulled me away from my
like Pennywise to the sewer.
Yes! She lured me.
Bit your arm off.
She lured me. Yeah, it was. It was just as painful as a stranger saying something on YouTube or Reddit.
Yeah,
if not more. It's like right to your face.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's your Nana. You know, it's like, this should not be coming from you. You should be a safe space. You're supposed to fucking bring me cookies.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so, I don't know who that woman was, but I feel badly for the people in her life. If she felt comfortable saying that to a stranger, I don't know what she's saying to her.
Yeah, her loved ones.
Friends and loved ones, but that was my defuck.
Yeah.
Delaney, do you have... I have a quick segment.
Go for it.
But you can go. I can save it if you want.
You can go for your segment. I mean, I got a couple quickies too, but
okay.
You go.
My defuck is that this week my mom tried to set me up with a dude that handles her car at Mercedes.
What?
And she's so funny. She calls me and she goes, okay, Tay, this is me speaking as your mother. And I was like, all right. And she goes, so there's this really cool guy and he's great and all these things. And I guess he's been taking care of her car for a few years. He's like my age. He's not like some, whatever. And she's just like, Taylor, I just think he's cool. And you know, I never do that. I would never waste your time with anybody who I didn't think was cool. And she's like, so what do you think? Would you go out with him? I was like, I'll get coffee with him if you want me to, Mom. Like, I don't, it's whatever. Like, I don't know when I'm going to be in town. And she's like, okay, but just, she's like, I'll invite him over to the house and then I can introduce you guys. And I was like, this is not,
God.
I was like, if you would like to give him my phone number, because he's not gonna, I get handed people's phone numbers all the time from moms and shit, you know, and they're like, you should meet my son. And it's like, I will never meet your son, even if he is the coolest guy ever. Your son could be Obama. And I'd be like, this is not gonna be how our story starts. And I said, why don't you just give him my number the next time you see him. And she's like, I'm here now. And so she gives him my number.
Oh my gosh.
And the rest of the day, she's like, every hour, she's like, did he call you? Did he call you? Did he call you? And I was like, I'll let you know if he does. Okay. And I'm like, I had to watch my poor mom like realize that this guy had essentially played her, where she was probably like, I have a great daughter. And he was probably like, yeah, sure, why not? And then she was like, of course he means it. And I'm like, you can't just hand someone a phone number
gosh.
At their job.
Right.
What? That's not good customer service to be like, I don't really do that. Like, I can find my own broads. And it's like, also, I was like, you think I'm going to date someone who lives in Temecula? You think I'm going to date
somebody?
One. Yeah. Who just lives there and just were ew. And also, I'm sorry, if you're in your 20s and you live in Temecula, get out. And like, also, I'm like, she's like, he works 6 days a week, he has Sundays off. I was like, guess who's not available on Sundays? Like, no, that would never work. And she's just like, she called me again today to apologize. She's like so embarrassed. God. She like tried to set me up and it didn't go anywhere. I was like, you're the only one upset about this. Like, truly. I was like, it's fine. There were like a bunch of people who Instagrammed me about some friend of theirs.
Yeah.
Like, over the weekend, I'm trying to do like those question and answers every Sunday. And there's this girl that wanted me to date her brother, who's like a park ranger, and just like kept hounding me. And she's done it before and I just ignored it. And this week I was like, why are you doing this? And then all these other people came out of the woodwork like, I'm friends with him. You actually would. He was actually pretty cute. But like, I would never do that. I would never hit somebody up off of Instagram like, hey, a bunch of your acquaintances. He messaged me and was like, he's like, my friends really got a kick out of that, like, that you answered. Thanks for doing that. I'm sorry they bothered you. And I'm just like, no, they're nice people. Like,
oh my God.
But I'm just like, why would anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
In a million years. Anyway, so I felt bad for her that she got ghosted.
Yeah. Oh.
She got ghosted
she did.
Through you.
She called his work back.
What?
And left my number on the voicemail to make sure she didn't give him the wrong one. I was like, he's just not that into you.
Oh, God.
It's okay.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I hope, though, that, like, wait, she gave him your number or, like, a card or something?
I don't know if she wrote it down. She said she just told it to him.
Oh, that's so funny.
And that maybe he wrote
it. Dude, this is going to be a hilarious story one day if he ever realizes that it was Taylor Tomlinson that he got referred to. Because, like, when you're freaking big time famous, you're like, shit! I should have called that number that woman told me.
She would have been my ticket out of Temecula. God damn it.
Oh, God, that's so funny, dude. Oh, man, I love it.
Crack me up.
Man, you got people in all kinds of places trying to set you up.
I mean, just really that one. People are not sure. Well, no, that's not true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Have you said on the actual show yet that you are...
Didn't I say that Kyle and I broke up?
Patreon, that was on Patreon, I think.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. I thought we did it on a normal one. All right. Well, my defuck. No, I'm kidding. Kyle and I broke up a couple weeks ago. And I mean, if you're on the Patreon, you definitely know. But like the last 2.5 months were like really horrible. And, you know, Reader's Digest version, it is for the best. And, you know, it just is what it is. And... shit happens, you guys. Shit happens. And it, you know, whatever. Some people are not compatible, or it's not the right time, or it's not just not the right thing. And life throws shit at you. And luckily, I am 25 and thriving. And
you're like flubber,
young.
Baby.
Thank you. I am.
You are flubber.
And now I just get to use this crystal Michelle gave us to not fall back into old habits. So, yeah. Good news, single helpsters. You got someone in your corner now.
Taylor is single, just hot and single, ready to meet you at the car
hot
dealership.
Ready. Hot, single, emotionally unavailable. Get at me. Get at me. I will make you get tested and then not sleep with you. That is where I am at.
Oh, just a bundle of fun. All right. Well, I mean, my defuck is not gonna, I just feel
you're
like,
gonna
sometimes
up.
I feel like my defucks have to follow that defuck a couple times, and it's just never gonna equal it. Anyway, so my defuck / good shit that I think is so funny is that my dad is new to Instagram, and he does not do social media, and he comments on every single post on my personal Instagram and the self-helpless Instagram, and my dad gets confused that the self-helpless Instagram is not my personal Instagram, so sometimes he'll comment like it's my personal.
That
great quote, Delaney, and it's from Self Helpless.
Oh, I know. As the person running the Self Helpless Instagram this month, boy, do I know. Have I gotten real close with Papa Fisher? He's got a lot to say. My God. I asked for book recommendations, and your dad said something like, my friends and I really love if you guys read off some baseball stats.
What? Some baseball stats?
My dad is he is the funniest troll ever, because he doesn't know what trolling means or what it is. And so he is just engaging with all the Instagram opportunities that are now at his fingertips.
Oh my God. His Instagram algorithm has to be like through the roof, because they're just like, this guy's activity is nonstop. He is talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Every post is a comment and a like. Oh my Lord.
Dude, it's so funny. I seriously, you guys cannot miss it if you're on the self-helpless Instagram. Yeah. He's usually the first comment on my personal stuff and self-helpless. It cracks me up, dude. And then he will call me and talk to me about the comments.
About his comments
that he's
making. You see this one?
So, Julia, I wasn't sure if I should have posted this, but I did. And then I deleted it quickly, and I did this and said, oh my God.
So clearly your dad. Like, undeniable that you came from his seat. Because it's just like dad joke vibe and like kind of like a little inappropriate. Yep. And it's just like so exactly your dad.
Oh my God, you guys. I seriously want to do like a social experiment on how many followers my dad can get like from the podcast. Yeah. Like if I say right now, go follow Ron Fisher, and I'm not going to tell him anything, and I just want to see if he just like thinks his Instagram is blowing up because of all of his hot comments. You guys, this would be so funny. It's Ron_Fisher, FISCHER _25. Seriously, please. He's got 8 followers right now.
He has eight.
How
many is he following?
He follows 16.
Boy, that's 50-50. Like, we're honored to even be one of the 16. That's a great statistic right there.
Yeah. So, seriously, I am going to. So, now we have 8 in our mind. The next time we record, I want to know how many help serves followed him for this joke. You could totally unfollow him like the day after, but my God, that would be so funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, geez.
So, that's my moment. Yeah,
we've said a lot of things today. We've really said a lot of things.
So many things. And I'll get more into it on a different episode. But my dad is now vegan.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. My dad, who is my dad. I mean, you guys.
You out here turning people.
I mean,
seriously,
this is the daddiest dad guy that you could meet. You know, burgers, cheeseburgers, and all the things. My stepmom asked if he would watch Earthlings with her, and he did. And he went vegan over the course of several weeks after. But that's what did it for him, I guess. Wow, I was shocked.
I'll have
to get into it a little bit more in depth, but I was super shocked by it.
Wow.
So yeah, that's why you're going to see some weird vegan posts on his thing now, too.
Oh my gosh,
Ron Fisher. Oh, boy. All right, let's plug some dates. This comes out Monday, September 23rd. I'm going to be headlining the Comedy Underground in Seattle this whole weekend. I know we've got a lot of helpsters in the Seattle-Tacoma area, so come out to those. I'll be there the 26th through the 29th. I've got Kane with me. It's going to be lots of fun. I will also be headlining the Comedy Works Club in Denver, October 13th through the 17th. And there's just a bunch of like universities. I'll be in New York for a weekend. Just go to kelseycook.com and get some tickets.
Nice. Go to ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. I'm in Tempe the 12th through the 14th of October. And then after that, I believe I am at Helium in St. Louis. I've got a bunch of dates leading up to what is really important, which is November 10th, 2 shows, 5:30 and 8 at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. That is my Netflix special tapings.
Woo-hoo!
So please come to that. And if you're not there, get there. Fly there. No, I'm kidding. If you have friends or family or you know people, please send them clips of me and tell them to go. Only if they like it, though. If they're not into it, just tell them to stay home. Because I'm very nervous about it and I want it to be good. So tickets are on sale for that right now.
Amazing. Yay. And then I just want to give a shout out to one of my Doing It with Delaney clients. Shout out to Brittany. She is an incredible digital artist and writer. You have to follow her on Instagram. It's just like beautiful images with like, it's like deep and amazing and it makes you feel good. You have to go check her stuff out. So follow her at BrittanyEarnshaw on Instagram. You will not be disappointed.
Yay. All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.